Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today, perhaps in a perspective that you've heard a little bit about before. But I think any time we can understand the power that we have as individuals to create wellness in our lives, to take charge of our own destiny in a very special way, I think that's significant. My guest today is Lee Fortson. She has written a phenomenal book called Embrace, Release, Heal. Now, this is an in-depth book about a woman's journey with cancer, but more than that, she shares all kinds of scientific information and details about different ways that you can deal with establishing wellness in your body. And if you're like me, you've had friends or members of family that have gone through this debilitating type of disease, and it comes in so many shades and color. I think you're really going to be impressed with Lee Fortson and her perspective. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here.
Now, you are a woman that has been very much involved and dedicated to wellness most of your life. This is something that was just your passion. And then in 2006, you were told you had the big C. And in
right.
our culture today, I mean, I think of my grandparents' generation, the big thing then was heart or, you know, gallbladder. Now we have the big C, and its variables are just incredible as far as how it expresses itself and how it manifests in the body. Tell us your story, Lee. What happened?
Well, I had, as you mentioned, I had a very healthy lifestyle. I wrote books about alternative medicine. I exercised. I ate pretty well. I had a consciousness about health. And so when I got slapped with that diagnosis, it really did feel like a slap. It was a huge identity crisis because I don't fit the profile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't think so in my mind. And it was anal cancer. I got diagnosed about the same time Farrah Fawcett did. And once you get a diagnosis, you get kind of sucked into what we call the morphic field of cancer, which means that there's just like this energy field around the very word, and most people, like I did, get almost paralyzed in their thinking, in their judgment. And the doctors told me the protocol they wanted me to do, the chemo and radiation, and I just sort of went okay, and I got onto the conveyor belt, and it took my husband to pull me aside and say, "Don't you want to check into some alternatives? I mean, that's what you're
mm-hmm.
all about." And I went, "Oh yeah." I called some docs in Germany, and they all said, "Look, chemo and radiation has a great success rate for anal cancer. Just go with it. Otherwise, you'd have to spend all your savings, come over here, you know, for 6 months and so on." So I went with that program. I had a very low dose, low toxicity chemo, and a very high dose radiation. And it was really, really, really tough. And it was a 6 weeks protocol that I ended at 5 weeks because I couldn't stand the burns anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A year later, they found another tumor further up the rectum. This time it was called rectal cancer, and this time it was about surgical removal of the anus, the rectum, and part of the sigmoid colon.
Mm.
That's when things kind of shifted for me big time in my mind, because the first go-around I thought, okay, look, God made a mistake. I don't fit the profile. This is not who I am. I have cancer. No, that's not me. And I'll just go through it. I'll be done with it, and I'll, you know, never talk about it again. Well, the second go-around, I went, okie dokie, this is still mine, and actually this is mine, and I need to start dealing with this and look at this from a deeper perspective. And I had plenty of time to do that because the radiation had so compromised my tissue that it took 9 months for the surgical site to heal, and I couldn't do much of anything in that 9 months. I had a wound about the size of an apple that was, you know, right where that other stuff used to be, and, you know, it was pretty rough and not very glamorous. So I had a lot of time to think about all kinds of things, the more holistic understanding of cancer that I actually eventually came to. And then 3 months after the wound site healed up, and a year after the second diagnosis, and 2 years after the first, I got a third diagnosis. And this time it was just a small tumor near my sciatic nerve, no symptoms, no pain, nothing. It was just found on a routine scan. And this time they said they couldn't do radiation because it would kill me. Chemo wasn't really appropriate, and I wouldn't have done it anyway. Surgery didn't work for me because of my skin. So they kind of looked at me, and, you know, they're lovely people at the cancer center, but they basically had not a great prognosis for me and didn't quite know what to do for me. And I suddenly went, okay, I guess it's going to be up to me then. So that set me on this adventure, the adventure of my lifetime, to find a way to heal. And I figured that the best way to heal, especially from something like cancer where we're so enculturated into thinking that it's dire and hopeless after a certain point, the best way to heal is to talk to people who had also been through that and who had healed. So I decided to write a book, and I did end up doing a number of things, including a type of radiation called CyberKnife. I became a raw foodist. I read everything I could get my hands on about the mind-body connection, and I wrote this book where I interviewed about 10 people, all of whom were told they were going to die, and all of whom are now either thriving or completely cancer-free and thriving. I also included in the interviews doctors, both oncologists and regular allopathic doctors, as well as alternative docs, to find out their take on what we could do in addition to just the regular standard program that isn't working for way too many people. And I found out a lot. It was, you know, writing the book, everyone goes, oh, you know, thank you, it's been so helpful, thank you for being so selfless to write such a book. I'm like, I wasn't selfless, believe me. I wrote the book to save myself because I needed to convince myself that I could make it through to the other side. And the only, you know, the heroes, my heroes are the people in that book who told me their stories and made me go, man, if they can do it under way worse conditions, then I can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a statement in your book that I think is so true. And it has a very personal meaning to me because of a friend that was diagnosed with cancer and what she's going through right now. You say, healing requires a great deal of fortitude and due diligence. It means taking full responsibility for the quality of our lives and the choices we make. I have a very dear friend who, at this time, is dealing with lymphoma. Uh-huh. And when I told her about your book, she said, oh, I'm getting it. One of the things she said to me more than once after she was given the diagnosis, because she went through about a year ago, she said, Donna, I don't know that I am brave enough to go another route. And she's going through chemo. She's part of an experimental program. She's an older lady, and she is someone, she said, I'm frightened. And I thought to myself, and we've been friends for years, and so I just share whatever I can with her. And, of course, it's always her decision. But I think fear is at the basis.
Oh, my gosh.
And what I'm going to say may sound a little tacky to some people, but I'm going to say it anyway. I have known so many individuals who have battled for their lives. And I really think a lot of what is done for cancer treatment is barbaric. I had a friend who was burned horribly with radiation treatment. Uh-huh. And not that there aren't caring medical professionals, but I think the treatment is barbaric. That it's useful in some applications, fine. Uh-huh. But they really don't know how to measure what they're giving to people. And the stuff is lethal. And when I talk to people in the medical profession, it's just a lot of them won't even consider it. They've seen so many people go through such adverse effects.
I have a friend who's an oncologist who just got a diagnosis, and He prayed that he wouldn't have to have chemo. Mm-hmm. The people in the business know more than anybody. Now, they also are trained to believe it's the only option. So even though they know that it's barbaric, and that is actually the very, very word that my oncology nurse used with me when she looked at the burns from the radiation, that was the very word she used when I said, I'm not doing any more. Mm-hmm. And so they know. I mean, they see it all the time, but they're trained to believe that there are no other options. And I think that there's a huge, huge disconnect between the people in medicine who are good-hearted and go into it because they really want to help people. And most people do. I mean, why would you go through the rigors of medical school unless mm-hmm. you honestly believed that this stuff was the right thing to do? But they're, you know, it's trained out of them to think that there could be, for instance, a nutritional component to this. One of the folks I interviewed in the book is a guy named Dr. Barry Boyd. He's from the Yale medical system. And he's really into the nutritional components of health and disease and this and that. And cancer and diet are his specialty. And he said that there was a study done on med students. And going in, you know, the kids thought, diet had, you know, something to do with them. Maybe 80% of the students said, yes, diet makes a difference. By the time they graduate from med school, it's down to about 5% of the students. So it's mm-hmm. trained out of them to think that there is a three-dimensional approach that we can take to this. And I got to tell you, Donna, I am sad to say that I agree with you, because I really do feel that there's a great deal of good intentions in the medical world. But then I talk to some other people who are a little bit more cynical and say, look, you know, they know what's going on. It's really about the pharmaceutical companies who dictate, they totally govern the medical world. And so, you know, most doctors know it if they have half a mind. But, you know, we don't know what really goes on. But we do know that the pharmaceutical industry does govern medicine, and medicine is very limited in its approach to any disease, especially cancer.
Mm-hmm. And see, what I like is the stats that you give regarding the genetic patterning of the potential for cancer. Okay, if someone goes in and has this testing done, it used to be under 40% of those that had it would get it.
Uh-huh.
If they got it. Then you have now, it's like 82%. We literally have evolved into creating an epidemic of diseases that do have, and cancer comes in a gazillion different types, shapes, and forms.
Right.
That was something I'll never forget. I went in for a mammogram one year, and I was talking with a nurse, and she said, oh, there was 200 and some odd kinds of breast cancer. And that was just like, you've got to be kidding, because you hear breast cancer, and in the minds of most women, it's all the big C that they hear. They don't realize that there's many different variables. And I have just made the acquaintance of a woman that had somehow or another contracted a cancer. She was from Costa Rica. She doesn't know why. It's not affected anybody else in her family. But she got a cancer that is so rare that, I mean, it's like 1 in 2 million people might get it, or maybe 3 million people might get it. It's
right. It's
extremely rare, yet it is deadly. And what she did, she took charge. She said, this is not acceptable to me. And fortunately, she had been involved enough with naturopathic education, because a lot of her work is involved in that. And she said, this I'm going to work with. So she had a physician that was not dyed-in-the-wool attitude, and he worked with her naturopath.
Uh-huh.
They formed a team. And this woman has been free of this. It didn't metastasize to any other part of her body. But
isn't
she said, I have to take care of my body. And that is something that you come across in your book with. And that is what I think is so important. It's just sad to me that people have been so brainwashed, and that's why your book is so valuable.
Well, and that is what this book is about. It's about people who were basically told there was no hope in the medical community. It's not, you know, I think one or two people chose not to do any of the conventional treatment, but all the rest underwent conventional treatment and it failed them. And so that's when they took charge of their lives. And what I'm hoping is that when people read this book, or as the consciousness around disease changes, that people will start taking charge of themselves long before they go through this barbaric, you know, treatment. You know, by really paying attention to their diet, by doing research and finding out what goes on between the mind and the body. You were talking about this woman who didn't have any genetic predisposition to have this kind of rare cancer. Well, there's this whole new kind of science called epigenetics, which is basically it's about how our mind and our body have more to do with creating disease, the mind-body relationship, than mm-hmm. does genetics. And so when I hear about, you know, this 80% of the genetic testing is now panning out, I'm thinking, well, why wouldn't you get cancer if you're told you're going to? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you, if somebody goes, oh, you're going to get it because your genetics, you know, this test shows you are absolutely going to get it. I mean, the power of suggestion from authority is enormous. There's something also called the nocebo effect, which is opposite of the placebo effect. I mean, all of this stuff goes into the same pot. We know what the placebo effect is. We've heard of it. It's like, you know, somebody gives you a pill. It's a sugar pill. They tell you it's going to cure whatever you've got going on, and it cures whatever you've got going on, even though it's really made up of nothing. Well, the opposite of that is the nocebo effect, which means somebody comes up to you, looks at your body, says, you know what, you're going to die in 6 months, and every you know, one of your little brain cells gets together and says, okay, folks, we're going to die in 6 months. Let's just get ready to do that and break everything down. In a way, I can't help but wonder if that's at play when people get these genetic tests. I mean, I don't know. You know, I know a lot of people get them for prevention, but I think that we need to be mindful that there's a not just a mind-body connection. There's a marriage between our mind and our body that we're just now beginning to understand through quantum physics. And we need to be very careful not to set ourselves up to get sick.
I think that we have a mentality, when you think about all the stuff on television, when you think of all of the junk that is, and I say junk, mm-hmm. that is constantly pushed out there. We have big business. Not just pharmaceuticals, but the tests and other things that will say, wow, you know, this is something. And we say, lots of times it's, well, we say it's prevention, but many times some of these processes, like you said, psychologically can have an effect. And I do think that we have to realize that if we want to do something for prevention, which obviously means you take care of yourself,
mm-hmm.
you look into supplements, you read, you find out about herbs, get to know about different modalities. Don't be afraid to show up for life, because that's what mm-hmm. life is all about. And it's showing up and being a participant. But you have all of this stuff that says, oh, you just don't have the brains of a cockroach to even figure this out, sweetie. We
right.
all know what's better for you than you do. And
right.
the body is a fascinating thing. And one of the components that you go into with the mind-body connection is how we have emotional situations. We might have anger situations. My very dear friend, who she said, you know what, I have pushed down inside of me so much resentment. I have pushed down anger. I have pushed it down. And she said, I've got to let it go. There is resentment she has with certain individuals and circumstances. And she said, I have to feel better. And that was one of the things that your book helped her with. Because I think we have to have honesty with ourselves. We have to make it okay, number one, that we have emotions.
Right.
And not try to say, like some people do, well, just give it up. You don't need to figure these emotions out. Just bypass it. Well, some people can detach that easily. Other people cannot. And that's something that you had to deal with yourself.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, because you know earlier you were saying you got to take care of yourself. That's the best way to prevent disease, but a large part of taking care of yourself is not just diet and exercise, but it's your emotional life. And after my second diagnosis, I started going, what could I have contributed? And I'm not saying everybody does it, but I had to ask myself the question because I knew enough about the mind-body connection to know that it was a relevant question for me. How could I have contributed to this disease? Where am I not free? Where am I closed off, shut down, upset? Where am I harboring grievances? What am I doing? Does this particular kind of cancer represent something? And, I mean, it may sound a little far out there to some people, but it makes a lot of sense when you start thinking about it, that certain types of cancers can be representative of certain types of emotional imbalances. For instance, you know, anal cancer is like, well, okay, what do I do with that one? What's the emotional component of that? And it's about control. It's about letting go. It's about just flowing with things. And I've never been the world's most controlling person, but I've also never been the world's, you know, or before cancer, I was certainly a lot more stressed out and a lot more unable to let go of things, unable to go with the flow, wanted things to go my, you know, in a mm-hmm. way that I thought was best. And I really started looking at that, just going, wow, man, I hold on to way too much. And I've got resentments toward my husband that I haven't forgiven from 10 years ago. And I, you know, took a very honest look at myself. And it was the beginning of so much inner freedom and inner liberation. And I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to, not just the people I interviewed in the book, but in my life since cancer, who have had one kind of disease or another, and who looked at their inner landscape of emotions and realized that that was what was making them sick. This is not make-believe. This is not just some, you know, new age blame it on yourself thing, and that's what everyone thinks you do when you look at your emotional landscape, that, oh, you're blaming yourself. No, you're taking responsibility for what goes on inside of you, understanding that it's just as important and has just as much of an impact on your physical being as what you put in your mouth, what you eat. Mm-hmm. You know, what you put in your body goes in through your thoughts and your emotions and your mouth. So
you have a wonderful story. Excuse me for interrupting you.
No, that's fine.
But you have a wonderful story about a woman named Jenny in your book. And I wanted to be sure that we talked about it because Jenny, well, she got cancer in her lymph nodes. She had it treated. She decided that she was going to follow the Gerson therapy, which is a
mm-hmm.
nutritional program.
Uh-huh.
And you give contact information in your book, all kinds of contact information, which I just love. But this poor woman, she started having trouble with her vision, and she goes to the doctor. She went to Findhorn, which is the spiritual community many of us know about in northern Scotland, and she ended up going to London where she had a brain scan. They found a tumor in her brain, multiple tumors in her lungs, her spleen, and her stomach. Now, anybody that gets that kind of a diagnosis is, she said she freaked out. She just uh-huh. absolutely freaked out over the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
They put her on extremely high doses of steroids, which are just unbelievably harsh on the body.
Uh-huh.
And she said she gained weight. She had lost all of her hair. She was wearing an eye patch. She said, I was a mess because of the drugs.
Mm.
And finally, she met a Dr. Calabout,
mm-hmm.
who was a naturopathic oncologist in the United Kingdom. And he put her on a nutritional regimen that was very intense.
Very. Yes.
And it worked.
And it worked. This is what people need to know. You know, I went to a luncheon with a bunch of really smart women, attorneys and judges and, you know, just really bright women. And this is when I first started writing the book. I was first gathering stories. And I told them about some of these stories, like Jenny's.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman looked at me and she said, I don't believe you. And I said, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Because these stories are not told, and we're told that they're hocus pocus or they're lies or, you know, they're, you know, occasional miracles. But Donna, the best thing about you having me on this show is that maybe somebody out there will, for the first time in their life, go, it's possible. Wow. Mm-hmm. It's really and truly possible. All of these protocols that we're told are the only things that we can do or the only things that might work. That's not true. And the stories in that I heard in writing this book absolutely blew my mind. You don't have to have faith in God, or you might have faith in God. You don't have to be a man, a woman, associate from any socioeconomic thing. You know, all the different demographics can be healed. It doesn't matter. And certainly I think for people who do have some kind of faith, that helps a lot. And some people rely entirely on that. But there was one guy in the book who was an atheist, and he healed himself with creative visualization from a very similar situation to Ginny, where he was just basically given about 6 weeks to live. So this is the good news, folks. I mean, this is the good news. And once we can wrap our minds around the fact that it's true, it's not some mythology that alternative doctors are conspiring to, you know, tell people, not at all, then things can start to shift in a bigger way. And that's what we have to have happen in the cancer industry.
Well, I think it's with any part of the industry. And I know there's always going to be sick people someplace somewhere. There's always going to be someone having a challenge. What really distresses me is when the attitude of a physician, I know I experienced, my husband's experienced this. He had a certain situation that occurred with him, and he had a young doctor, just exactly what you were talking about earlier, who said, I'm a Western doctor. I don't get into this other stuff. Now, to me, that's appalling ignorance. And my husband, because of the various materials that I get and the physicians I interview who have a different attitude, who look at a person and say, all right, let's see what we can do with your body chemistry. Let's see how we can help you. And if we have to do something, let's make it so that you are going to get well, because I want you well. I don't want you sick.
Right.
And this is an issue that I think is so necessary for us to really take ownership of. It distresses me so much when I listen to people saying, oh, well, I'll just do this. And I've done the same thing years ago. And I would just go by someone, and by God, I paid a hefty price because I was ignorant. And I think the only way we can get past ignorance, fear, and superstition, to me those are the three greatest enemies we have, is by relating experiences, by listening to what other people have done, by being willing to be open to different modalities from different cultures. I mean, Jenny, a doctor in the UK, where homeopathic, naturopathic remedies have been around for centuries, and they are far more accepted than here in the United States.
Right.
So
right.
We as consumers are making a statement already that a lot of businesses aren't too happy about, saying we want different options. And that's what I like about your book, because you have so many references throughout the book, websites. It's as if you're saying, I'm telling you this information, check it out. Just don't take my word for it. And I think, Lee, that is so important. Now, I know we're just about out of time. You have a website called EmbraceHealingCancer.com. EmbraceHealingCancer.com. And I strongly encourage any of you who are listening, if you know of anyone, and I don't care whether it's cancer or not, if you know of anyone that is going through serious health challenges, make them aware of this publication. Because when you're given a diagnosis or you have a doctor look at you and say, oh, you're going to be dead in 6 months, I mean, you just are going to feel like you've got nothing to live for. So great, go ahead, make a will, do what you're going to do, and then get back on the track to live your life. Fight back. And I think, Lee, that's what your book gives us. It gives something to fight with.
You know,
and
I like to,
for that.
And well, thank you very much for acknowledging the book. And that I just want to say that one, I've changed a word that people tend to use in when they're talking about health and disease, and that's from fight to love. Because I think all that crap you're talking about that's in the airwaves and that's fed to us from doctors or television or radio talk shows or whatever, it's all about fighting against something. Well, I say let's love ourselves enough to do what's necessary to live our lives to the fullest, and let's love ourselves and each other enough to forgive and be compassionate and be grateful. It's really about loving. After going through what I've gone through, it's about loving, not fighting. It's about giving up that fight that we have against life and giving ourselves to love.
Well, I agree with that. But I also think you have to have that determination. You have to say, I am in this.
Yes.
I am in this, and I have options to work with.
Yes.
And that's what your book gives. Embrace, Release, Heal, Lynn Fortson. Check out her website, embracehealingcancer.com. I think you'll find it very illuminating, and the book is very well done. Thank you, Lee, for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I'm so delighted that you're able to join me today. And if you'd like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with some intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to do that. The telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. For those who are first-time listeners, just know all I want from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you can ask me a question about anything that is of significance to you. So it's 888-627-6008. 008. Well, let's see. Bingo's story, another dog. Bingo's story, and I'm going to be sharing that with you later on because I started it and I couldn't finish it. It ran out of time yesterday. But before I do that, I do want to let those of you know in the Seattle area that I'm going to be appearing at the Ascension Into Light Foundation in Seattle at 11 a.m. I'm going to be doing a talk there, and it's free, and I welcome you to, or invite you, I should say, invite you to join me if you'd like to this Sunday. Now, I sent out an e-blast for those of you that are on my email list. You'll have that with all the details and directions. And if you want more information, just go to my website. You'll have, that's Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International, and you'll have all of the information. But this is a power-packed month, and I've got more good things to share with you. But before I do that, let me go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show. This is Donna Sebo, first name or initial, and where are you calling from, please?
The caller has dropped.
Oh, we lost the caller. Okay, that's fine. So, caller, if you want to call back, that's fine. Call back in, and I know that that can happen, especially if you're on a cell phone. Anyway, I have the talk this Sunday, and then on February the 25th, it's a Saturday, I'm going to be appearing at the East-West Bookshop in Seattle at 7 in the evening. Now, that program, there's $15 admission, and that is called Power Mind. And I'm also going to be doing mind demonstrations. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Northwest Women's Show. That's right. That's coming up March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. That's just around the corner. Can you believe it? My goodness. Well, on March 2nd, I am going to be presenting a women's forum. I've been doing, this is my fifth year of doing this, and I have people that have been guests on my show, the Northwest authors, etc., and we are going to be talking with a number of different people, and all of that is going to be on my website and in my newsletter. But this gives us a chance. We'll be talking about health, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of things in between that, history in America. And then I've got a very special lady by the name of Renata, who's 88 years young. She is an artist, and she has a full-scale art exhibit. This woman's story about her life and her psychic experiences, well, it's just absolutely fascinating. So we are going to have a wonderful lineup. I invite you to come out to the women's show. Check out my women's forum, which is going to be on Girl Stage. And then on Sunday, I am going to be speaking at 11:30 on the topic Spirit Talks. And that is what we're going to be doing. So anyway, it's just a dynamic show that's marked 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Check out northwestwomenshow.com, and you'll be able to find out all of the details about this marvelous, marvelous event. Oh, and there's so much more going on. My goodness, just seems to stack up. There's just so much happening. So give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Well, for those of you that didn't hear about Bingo, I wasn't able to finish this little dog story, but this is a little white dog. Well, there we go. I think we've got a caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. I'll talk about Bingo in a minute.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome
Hi there.
To the show.
Can you
First
hear
name
me
or
okay?
initial, please. I can hear you just fine.
Oh, good. This is Michelle. I think I talked to you like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Where are you calling in from, Michelle?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm from San Francisco.
Oh, from San Francisco. Wonderful city. Well,
yeah,
did you want me to do a spontaneous impression, or did you want to ask a question directly?
Oh, no, I have a specific question.
All right, then ask the question.
It is in regards to finances.
Mm-hmm.
Currently looking for work, and I have been for a while, and I've been really busy and hustling. But it's coming down to the point where if I don't get a job soon, I don't know what I'm going to do financially. And so I'm wondering if perhaps you can tap into, I don't even know, whatever it is that I need to do to transform this, because I need to.
All right. Now, Michelle, with the kind of work that you're looking for, what is it specifically?
Well, I'm involved in theater as an actress, but I also write.
I am seeing a nonprofit organization that would be willing to hire you to work in their marketing environment. And the theater environment, you're going to have some work, but it is not going to be generating enough income for you for a while. You've got the cycle of two regarding work in the theater. So I don't know if that's 2 months or by February of next year. I don't know. So you have a knack with marketing, and that is what I'm seeing you being able to get into. And I'm looking at a nonprofit organization that would be more than happy to have you as a part of their team. So what I'd like for you to do is to be open and receptive to some other venues, because you are a good writer, and there's other applications that you can get into.
When you say nonprofits, does that mean that it doesn't pay?
No, no. A nonprofit organization is a particular business classification. It enables that business to not pay taxes the way an ordinary business does. So they have to follow different protocols. A nonprofit, think of the different businesses. There's different medical organizations. There's all kinds of charity groups that are nonprofit. No, you would not work for free. I'm not talking about doing that. You could volunteer right now to work with anybody.
Not on my schedule.
Well, I understand, dear. But what I'm saying is the nonprofit is just a classification by a business.
I see, I understand.
Okay? So it's something that a nonprofit organization might need somebody that they can have working for them that can do marketing and different types of things and have that skill and expertise with words that assist them in accomplishing what they want to do.
Yeah, I am. So I'll just pray on that, because I'm not really sure how to go about soliciting that kind of work.
All you need to do is say, I'm an excellent writer. Do you need somebody in the marketing department? It's very simple. I think you're trying to intellectualize this too much, but I can understand why. Because when you're at this kind of a point, you just sort of have to throw it up to the universe. See, I don't know what it is. You've got to show me what to do.
I don't know any nonprofit organizations. So, I mean,
oh, yes, you do. You know of hundreds of them. You know of hundreds of them. You hear about them all the time. You've got radio and television stations that are nonprofit. All you have to do is go on and Google on the computer and get a listing of nonprofit organizations in your own area, and there's hundreds of them.
Got you. Okay.
Check it out.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Yes, because I think you'd be very good in that.
We'll see what happens.
But go for it.
Okay, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. And if we have time, I'm going to finish Bingo's story. But the number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I'll be glad to take your first name or initial and then give you my mental impressions. And after that, of course, you can ask me a question if you like, or if you want, just do like Michelle did and just call and say, Donna, I have a specific question. That's fine with me. Now, one of the things that I wanted to make you aware of, and again, we're going to be going on a break in about a minute, then you've got to watch out for emails. Now, this is nothing new. I mean, there are people that send emails and they have viruses attached to them and there's all kinds of stuff. Well, you know, the phishing scams that are out there are just unbelievable. And there's a lot going on where there's some that are saying, gee whiz, your credit score is bad, you've got to contact me. And I mean, all of this stuff in the subject line, you really have to be skeptical. And you need to be aware that if you've been told you've got a traffic ticket, if you are, gee whiz, we have got a concert ticket for you, we're confirming this for you, unless you've actually ordered it yourself, you've got to be on guard. Because a lot of these places, what they're wanting you to do is go to their site, and then they want to get your information. And you don't know, having been put in a situation where my own personal accounts or compromise my bank accounts. You don't want to put yourself into that situation. You really want to check and double check. So anything that comes from the bank, you want to be really skeptical. You don't want to give anybody any more information, and don't let people scare you with their emails. Once you click the links in these phony emails, you're going to be taken to a real official-looking website that wants your personal information, then they steal your identity. Or they'll try to get into your bank account, and you think everything is kosher. And believe me, the fraud departments of banks and other facilities, they'll fill your ears with all kinds of things that are going on. It's not a joke. This is really serious stuff. So you want to be very, very careful. If you have any questions about anything that's done, you call the company and or the bank directly. Do not give any of your personal information through those email scams. It's an interesting world we live in. Donna Siebel here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Yesterday I was telling the story about bingo. Oh, excuse me. Before I forget it, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. Yesterday I was talking about bingo. Now, bingo is this adorable white dog. He looks like he's a mixture of cockapoo, which includes poodle, which includes Bichon Frise, you know, whatever it is that's around. He's of course just an adorable little dog. Well, Bingo was this dog, and those of you that heard this yesterday, just bear with me. Bingo, during the winter, was discovered by children. This is a little dog that when the children discovered it, I mean, he was in the snow, and he was just freezing. And the kids said to their parents, and the kids rescued the dog, just a little bitty guy, and they said, you know what, we got to take care of him. Well, the parents were concerned, and they said, okay, so they called the shelter. The shelter takes Bingo in, and to their amazement, because he was such a little guy, they discover this dog was blind. He had found the children outside playing by their squeals and their happy sounds by playing in the snow. And somehow or another, he got away. He didn't have a collar. There wasn't a microchip in him. They had no clue as to who he belonged to. Well, they also found out something else. Bingo, they thought this was a puppy. It wasn't. This is a dog that's 10 years old. Bingo was abandoned. And they just didn't know what to do. Well, he was so loving, just so loving, that the people just really at the shelter did not want to put him down. They just didn't have the heart. There were those that said, well, you know, he's at least 10 years old, he's blind, nobody's going to want him, we got to euthanize him. Well, as it turned out, they kept procrastinating on this. Well, they had a certain amount of time, as most shelters do, and just in time, in the nick of time, there was a group called Young at Heart Rescue. Now, this is a group that likes to save senior animals, senior dogs especially. And when they found out about him, they said, we'll take him. Just bring him to us. Now, usually when dogs are rescued, there are people that generously offer to foster home animals so that they can go through adjustments, because some of them have been through some real rugged environments. Others, maybe their owners just can't take care of them anymore, or the owner actually has died. So you have all kinds of challenges. And the foster homes, the people that open up their homes to animals like this, I just have nothing but the deepest respect and regard for them, because they sincerely love the animal that they are taking in. And often it can help to balance an animal that has been, well, not in the best of environments. Well, the little poodle, they found out, actually, they called him a poodle. I think he's a composite of, a couple of things. But they found this groomer that loved animals, and the groomer said, why don't you let him come to me? I'll take Bingo. He can stay in our shop. And by golly, this dog was loved by everybody. He just radiated, and he just loved people, and everybody loved him. Now, he had to learn his way around the shop because he's blind. Didn't bother him. He finally got a feel for it. And people would just chuckle. They said he bounces around like a little ping pong ball. And so they gave him a nickname of Ping Pong. Now, the owner of the shop, loved him dearly. But she thought he would really be better off if he were in a home with someone that really wanted him. Well, there was a woman by the name of Eileen. She had lost her 12-year-old poodle. And this dog, Bo, had just been absolutely her companion of companions. And the dog died from heart failure. And she found out about the rescue group, Young at Heart. And she thought, well, I'm not ready to get another dog yet, but maybe I could foster one. And she found out about Bingo. And they said, you know, Bingo is with this wonderful woman that has this shop. And the woman at the shop talked to Eileen and said, you need to know that this dog is blind. And Eileen said, well, that's okay. I can take care of him. And the song Bingo, B-I-N-G-O, Bingo was his name. Well, Eileen got Bingo, brought him home, and she knew that this was her dog. She said, okay, I'm keeping him. She fostered him for 12 months. And do you know what? She started taking Bingo with her to nursing homes. The people in the nursing homes were just in love with Bingo. Eileen went through the certification to have Bingo qualify as a therapy dog, even though he was blind. And she started not going just to nursing homes, but she started taking him to autistic children's functions. And children would let him close. And a lot of autistic children don't want you to touch them. Bingo could go up to a child and touch the child, and the child would never back away from him. Children were responding to Bingo. One little girl talked for the very first time in 2 years. Well, Bingo's influence was even expanding. This little, white, blind, 10-year-old dog was then also taken to a therapy facility for troubled teens. And you know what? It seems as if Bingo just radiates happiness, and that happiness just touches the hearts and mind of the people that he comes in contact with. Eileen has had Bingo for 3 years. She said, you know, He's such a happy dog. After you meet Bingo, she said, it's impossible not to believe that with any love, we can overcome any obstacle. And I think that's important. That's a good compliment, too, to my guest today. Love does make a difference. Unconditional, no judgment. It just is. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Keep that in mind. Love yourself. It isn't being narcissistic. Be appreciative of the qualities that you have as a human being, because you're very special in this world that we live in. And we need you. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent weekend. I hope you'll join me on Monday, where we're going to be talking about a very famous actor. And we'll be talking with Tama Ryder. This is Donna Sebo. Be blessed. Be happy. Love yourself. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.